Hello.
We eat a lot of bread.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. I don't make me edit this episode too much.
But I liked having non sequiturs in the beginning.
Well, too bad. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Phil.
I'm Sue.
Welcome to an episode of Pentalism.
It's X month still.
It's X month, baby.
X month. So once again, you can't see me, but I'm putting my arms together. Making an X.
Yeah, so as you might have recalled from our previous episode, what we're doing is we're taking individual X characters and we're discussing them kind of like a blow-by-blow of major appearances and what I think is important for the characters.
Yeah.
Through the years. So, like, with Wolverine, we covered from, like, 1974 all the way up to about 1990. And I plan on doing basically the same thing with Storm here.
Okay.
I have the basically same cutoff issue as I have for him as for her.
Yeah. It's an important cutoff issue.
Yeah. So I figured I was just going to cut it off right before the Jim Lee era kicked off in earnest, because I figure that's the beginning of the end of things. So
the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Not that I have a lot of disrespect for Jim Lee. I actually thought he was a pretty good artist back then and all that, but I just figure that the X-Men stopped being Claremont's baby at that point, and I just figure it's, you know, at that point we just move along.
And then we did dumb things, like tie Kitty Pryde to a meteor hurling towards Earth, and then have her...
It was a giant bullet that she phased through the Earth. And that wasn't Claremont.
That wasn't Claremont. No, I'm saying, like, dumb things would happen after Claremont, like Kitty Pryde phasing a giant bullet coming towards the Earth.
Yeah, well, I think that was Joss Whedon or something.
Oh, God.
Daisy, you're about to puke. Don't puke.
Anyway.
Anyway.
That's our dog, Daisy.
Yeah. I hope you heard her going.
Yeah, she coughs. Does stuff. Anyway, let's talk about Storm.
Let's talk about Storm, shall we? I figure that she and Wolverine are basically the two biggest stars of the X-Men during the 80s.
Yep.
And those are the people I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
So... let's talk about Storm and where she came from, huh?
Where did she come from?
Well, she's actually the child of, so she's literally African-American in this case.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Her dad is American and her mom is African. I think Kenyan, right?
Yeah, she was Kenyan.
Right? So she's literally African-American, which I find amusing. She originally debuted in Giant Size X-Men number one.
Oh, yeah.
Along with the peeps like Nightcrawler and Colossus.
Like all those other peeps we talked about.
Yeah. You know what she was doing when she was found? Local weather goddess. Local naked weather goddess.
That may be very uncomfortable reading, by the way.
Yeah. If you think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're adding people from international groups now. So, like, there's a step up in what they're thinking with the comics. They even add, like, a really powerful black woman to the group.
Yep.
But how do you find her? Naked, acting as a weather goddess.
It's a little fetishy.
Yeah. Anyway, with X-Men number 94, we see her move into the title itself, the X-Men title, which has now been revived. I talked about that last time.
Yes,
I'm not going to go into it again. X-Men 102, I should say now, is where we figure out what her last name is. It's Monroe. Her first name is Aurora.
Yeah, Aurora Monroe.
Apparently Aurora in I don't know what language is supposed to mean beauty. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess it fits for her.
Yeah.
Storm, by the way, has like weird features. You know what I mean? She's got that weird white hair. She's supposed to have features that are not particularly of any particular race, but she's got like cat eyes too and
mm-hmm.
blue eyes.
Yeah.
So
that
I don't
also
know.
Also weird me out.
She's strange. Let's see. Oh, yeah. It also reveals that she has claustrophobia, that issue.
Oh, yeah. Terrible claustrophobia.
Because of what happened with her parents. Because they did die. But they died because of... they were present... And this is how old this book is. But they died because they were present in the Israeli attack on Cairo way back in the day.
Yeah. I read that and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And this would have been, like, what, 1967, 68? I'm not really sure when that conflict
something around
happened.
Something around there, yeah.
It was in the 60s, I think. But basically, the building collapses upon them, and their parents die, but she lives. Maybe it was in the 50s. I don't remember. Well... Somebody out there is going to look it up. Look up the Israeli-Egyptian conflict back in the day. I'm sure you'll have some great time doing that, by the way. X-Men numbers 112 through 113 finds the X-Men kidnapped and captured by Magneto.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And but I'm going to go a little more depth in this one.
Yep.
Because when he captures them, he attaches them all to weird chairs that sap them of their powers and basically their ability to move.
In his words, he made them infants.
Yeah, so they're like little immobile children attached to chairs, and he puts an assaulting nanny robot out to feed them.
Well, to be fair, they turned him into a baby and then, like, left him with
Yeah, this is Magneto history.
Yeah.
But I should say that they didn't turn him into a baby.
No.
It was a mutate that Magneto himself helped create that turned on him and turned him into a baby.
Yeah.
Because Magneto is a jerk.
Yeah, he is. I'm sorry, people who are Magneto fans. He a jerk.
Yeah.
He a jerk.
Yeah. So, basically, he was going to let them stay there as basically as, like, living trophies. But he leaves at one point, and when he comes back, everything's dark. And it turns out that Storm had freaking picked a lock with her goddamn teeth of these fancy electronic chairs, and everybody got out. Because she apparently used to be a thief back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah.
History.
X-Men number 117, Xavier is shown to interact with a very young Storm who tries to steal his wallet while in Cairo at one point.
Yeah.
This is also the issue that debuts the Shadow King, who's kind of an important figure in Storm's history.
Yep.
Number 121, Storm uses her powers to quell a storm that threatens to knock out much of North America. That's because they were fighting with Alpha Flight, and they had one of their guys, Shaman, had summoned a big old storm to sideline the X-Men. And, he didn't quite have the ability to control such a massive thing. But fortunately, Storm was there.
Good job.
Yeah, she's powerful. So.
Well, I mean, Shaman, good job.
Yeah, well, he had good intentions.
I just summoned up this storm that could destroy all of North America. Good intentions.
Oops. Fortunately, we have somebody who's better weather than me. X-Men number 129 through 138, that's the Dark Phoenix saga.
Yes, it is.
Storm is a fairly close friend of Jean. At one point, I think she was calling her, like, they were, like, besties.
They were besties, yeah.
I
don't know. I was questioning her taste in friends, but whatever.
You know.
You always have that one terrible friend, so I'll forgive you.
Right. So, Storm and Wolverine, so many elements of good teamwork as well. And on top of that, we introduced Kitty Pryde, who I talked about in the last episode as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Storm quickly befriends the teenager. X-Men number 139, Cyclops leaves the team, and Storm is now the leader.
Yeah, they made Storm leader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I thought that was a big thing, right? When was this, like 1970?
It would have been 80-ish.
Yeah, but that's a big thing, especially,
maybe 81.
You know, having a woman in charge of, like, a team like that. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. And it would have been, like, 80-ish, 80,
yeah.
Or, you know, late 80s, or 1980 or so.
Like, besides, like, the Legion, right? I can't think of any other group that's led by a lady.
Up to that point,
yeah.
Yeah, it would have been difficult to think of that sort of thing. You know, and especially not just led by a woman, but, like, a black woman?
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, like, crazy times there.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Kudos to Marvel.
Let's see. It's about that time, by the way, that they have a backup story printed in Marvel Team-Up number 100. And it reveals that there's a past history between Storm and Black Panther. They have a little caper, but they kind of flash back to how apparently Black Panther was traveling through Eastern Africa at one point after Storm left Cairo, decided to move south and into the veldt of East Africa somewhere.
Sure,
Sub-Saharan
sure.
Africa.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, while he's traveling through there, while she's traveling through there, you know, she finds, you know, young T'Challa trying to get beat up by a bunch of dudes. She helps him out. And then they're all like, hey, let's travel together for a while. But then they separate. And then they come back together later and they're all like, oh, we could have been a good team. Like, Makey-Yowdy team. But, oh, well, we're moving along.
Is that the basis for their marriage later on?
Yes, actually, it is.
Okay.
I didn't... Yeah, so when I was expressing surprise about that, going, oh, great, the two most prominent African characters marrying each other. Well, it turns out there was a basis for that.
Well, there's a basis for that, but also at the same time, that's really tropey.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well, whatever.
Storm doesn't need to get married. Neither does T'Challa.
Yeah, well, they go their separate ways by the end of the
book.
By the end of the story.
I know, but I mean, like, stop making people hook up. Having a relationship doesn't define who you are.
They can hook up. People are allowed to hook up.
People are allowed to hook up.
That's what all the X-Men are about. They're about young people hooking up and having superpowers.
Like the Legion of Superheroes?
Oh, yeah, baby.
You don't need to be in a relationship to be valid. I'm just saying.
You don't have to, but it helps.
Helps boost sales.
Helps get sex at times.
I hate you.
Yeah. Well, now Storm's leader. She gets to lead the team into action, starting with the Days of Future Past storyline.
Yes, she do.
All up against Mystique's new Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Basically, Storm has to now measure herself against the leadership of Cyclops, which apparently at this time everybody was like, oh, Cyclops is such a great leader.
To be fair,
what
he kind of
Storm
was.
Do?
He was kind of a good leader.
Yeah, Cyclops generally knew what to do. He's got a good tactical mind.
Yeah.
People even are like mentioning it to her face. They're like, oh man, is he gonna measure up to Cyclops? Mm. And she's like, bitch, I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. You gonna learn.
Yeah. I should also mention that Storm is somehow bizarrely jealous of Kitty Pryde's dance instructor, Stevie Hunter. Because Storm has decided she's gonna be Kitty Pryde's like away mother.
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, and I was like, you're only like 10 years older than her. What's going on here? Actually, I'm not really sure how old Storm is supposed to be when she joins the team. I'm pretty sure she's in her, what would you guess?
Like, I would say early 20s.
Early 20s?
Yeah.
I would have guessed somewhere around 23 to 25.
Yeah.
That would have been my guess.
Mid-20s?
We'll say 23. We'll be conservative.
That's still early 20s.
Yeah. But I mean, like, at this point, she's like, oh, I'm, you know, say 24-ish at this point. And mm-hmm. she's like trying to play mom to Kitty Pryde. And I'm like, you're only like 10 years older than her.
Kitty Pryde the Mary Sue.
Yeah.
Nobody should. Yeah, no, you know what? That's fine. I'm going to own up to it. Kitty Pryde the Mary Sue.
She's fine. I mean, like, I got no problem with Kitty Pryde being Kitty Pryde. If Peter Parker can invent web shooters at the age of 15, Kitty Pryde can be a computer genius and figure out how to be an X-Man at the same time. Okay?
Computers weren't that complicated.
They're plenty complicated. Okay?
Okay.
Anyway.
That's fine.
Issues 145 through 147 have the X-Men deal with a Doctor Doom. I don't know if you've heard of this sort of person, but he's a big metal man. Storm intrigues this Doctor Doom, who makes a creepy servant robot replica of her at one point, after trapping her in her as a bronze statue. I should also mention that Storm has some fond thoughts of him, too, for some bizarre reason. And I should also mention that there have been a few annuals that have come out since the relaunch. And these dealt with, like, say, Archon, who's an Avengers antagonist. And he's, like, a King Conan type with, like, magic thunderbolts.
Yeah.
And, of course, he and Storm are also attracted to each other.
No.
So.
Stop it.
Mm,
stop it.
Storm's into those brooding asshole types,
no.
apparently.
No. No, stop.
Issue 100. Oh, by the way, Storm gets out of her chrome cage, but she also, like, causes a huge... massive storm while she's trapped in there because of her claustrophobia.
Yeah.
But she fixes it at some point. It's okay. Everybody survives.
Right.
Issue 150, a Cyclops rejoined the team for a little bit. Now, how is this going to affect things? Let's find out. Storm then gets her body swapped with the White Queen of the Hellfire Club.
That was actually a pretty fun episodic
Yeah.
story.
What has it been like for her to like just wake up, find out that she's shorter and in the body of some white bitch?
Well, no, but then like she could hear everybody.
Yeah.
Remember? She got out of bed and she's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
she
not
could
only
hear
did they,
everything.
Yeah, not only did they body swap, they kept the powers of the individual body. So
yeah.
Now Storm was a telepath and the White Queen had weather powers and she had no idea how to use them.
Yep. It was brilliant.
Yeah. So,
maybe figure out what you're doing before you body swap.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine a worse fate than just waking up in somebody else's body, though? I mean, especially if that person is some super white, rich bitch.
Oh, no. Let me cry in my hundreds.
I don't know. Maybe someday. Someday.
Dab my eyes with money.
I'm sorry. Let's get back to the story. Yep. Storm gets her body back the next issue, and we see we could get her kind of mad because she's like kind of pissed about this stuff, right?
You know what? Righteously so.
Yeah. She had to go fix the Emma Frost problem because, you know, like, lady didn't know what she was doing.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, she did not. Instruction manuals.
Right. Okay, so here's something I got to point out, though, right?
Yeah.
The Kitty Pryde stuff, mm-hmm. it is really freaking ridiculous at some points. At one point, she actually refers to her as a daughter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, back off, lady. Seriously, only 10 years older than her. I don't know where this is coming from. Just back off. Okay?
That's, you know what? No.
Storm, back off.
I still...
She's got wealthy white parents. She'll be fine.
I know that, you know, buy her whatever she wants.
Yeah. Storm and
Cyclops. She's a dragon, so.
Yeah, well, the dragon is coming up anyway.
Yeah.
Storm and Cyclops are competitive with each other, I should mention. So far, they seem relatively evenly matched, though. I'm not sure why Cyclops is sticking around with the team, but I guess he just was at this point. Storm gets accosted and nearly killed by Dracula in issue 159.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Yeah. And it's yet another issue of some dickhead being fascinated by Storm and her inexplicably being into it.
It's not. No.
I think it's some kind of fetish for her. You know what I mean?
I don't like it.
So, like, some dickhead's like, oh, Storm. And she's all like, maybe. I'm not saying no, but
no.
Probably no.
I am
but
saying
I'm not
no.
saying no. Yeah. It's just... Dracula's a little bit different than Archon and Doom, right? Because he's like a vampire and shit, but like still.
No.
Anyway, the story's kind of followed up in annual number 6, and well, it's got Bill Sienkiewicz art. Right?
Cry.
Anyway.
I cry.
When the X-Men are sucked into limbo, and a couple of issues later, they discover an Elder Storm that got stuck there and learned magic to replace her weather powers. Because limbo is a weird place where time doesn't really mean much. So they encounter people, like, in future times and past times, and it's just a strange place.
Yes, it is.
Elder Storm helps them escape. But I should mention that at one point, they were there to rescue Colossus's sister, Ileana, right? Mm-hmm. And at one point they lost her, but when they pull her back out, she goes from being, like, 8... to 14.
Yeah, I know. That was weird.
Yeah. So, you know, time stuff or something. So the Brood are around.
Yeah, we talked about my hatred of the Brood.
Yeah, they kind of been around like this whole time, but like you know, they were doing stuff and the X-Men follow them off, but now they're back, right?
Yep.
And they kidnap all the X-Men. We talked about this in the Wolverine episode. And they plant all everybody with eggs. Wolverine kind of fought us off by himself, right? But at some point, Storm just feels something wrong within her, and she flies off by herself to go die alone in space.
I forgot about the die alone in space.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. She totally did. That messed her up, too.
Yeah. She manages to kill her little embryonic body thief, but almost dies at the same time, right? But fortunately, she's saved by space wheels.
Yeah.
Space whales.
Space whales.
Don't ask. Let's just move on.
you know what? When the X-Men are in space, it's not really a good time.
No. Every time the X-Men show up in space, I'm like, oh, God damn it. We're doing this again.
It's not a good time.
Come on. I mean, like, I love Dave Cockerman stuff, but he just seemed to have, like, this insistence on putting the X-Men in space. I'm like, Dave, this isn't the Legion, please.
No, don't put them in space.
This is not the Legion,
no.
please. So, back on Earth. Finally, Storm finds that something is going on internally. She doesn't really understand what's going there, but there's some kind of conflict. Like, she's not in touch with herself as she used to be. You know what I'm saying? Now we're up to about issue 169 or so. And that's the introduction of the Morlocks.
Yeah,
along with their leader, Callisto.
We didn't really go into that deep into the Morlocks in the Wolverine one, but we are going to do it in Storm, right?
Yeah, we're going to take a deeper dive because they're a little more... involved with Storm than Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
So in this point, the Morlocks have kidnapped Angel, and they plan to keep him in their underground lair permanently because Callisto is a weirdo and decided she wanted to have a husband, and she wanted a pretty husband.
You know what, though? That's fine. They could keep Angel. You know, I would have been like, that's fine.
So it turns out that Angel's another one on the list of X-Men that Sue could just do without.
Yeah. It's like... Hey, Angel, you want to just stay here with the Morlocks? That's fine. They're going to treat you good.
So, anyway, Let's see. So I should mention, though, when they go down there, the storm's not functioning too well because they are underground, and she does have that claustrophobia thing going on. And on top of that, they're pretty freaking outnumbered. There's a lot of Morlocks.
There's a lot of Morlocks,
they only have
yeah.
three functional X-Men at this point. This is her, Nightcrawler, and Colossus, because Kitty Pryde is down there, and she's really sick.
Yep.
Because of one of the Morlocks, he has got the power of making people sick.
Yeah, I know. They call him Healer too, right?
No. Well, they have a Healer.
Yeah, they have
a
Healer. He's a different dude.
So
I think the Morlocks are super interesting.
Yeah, we'll get into more of them a little bit. Yeah. But basically, finding out that there's no really other method to extricate themselves from their issue and get Kitty Pryde away, Storm has to challenge Callisto to a duel to the death. And it's a knife fight, people.
That was a great issue.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a knife fight.
Yeah. No, the panels in that issue, it was fantastic.
Okay. So it's also some of my favorite pages in X-Men history. I put them up at some point.
Yeah.
Because it was like a little preview of what I was reading at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You might remember that in the Facebook from like
yeah,
a month or two
ago. Yeah, where she threw the knife and then like Storm just caught it. And
just
I was just
whips
like,
whips it out of the air. I put this all in caps, by the way. Storm stabs a bitch in the heart. That's ice cold. Ice cold.
Oh, yeah.
So, Storm is now the leader of the Morlocks, and the X-Men leave.
Yep.
There will be further consequences to these events. Everybody's noticing the Storm's kind of getting edgy, though. Like, she's got, like, a little edge to her tense. Things are going on, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to throw tantrums kind of like Kitty Pryde. Nobody throws tantrums like Kitty. That's just bad.
That's Kitty's thing, okay?
Yeah,
how dare you?
So, after not handling Rogue joining the team very well, it's off to Japan for a teammate's wedding. That's Wolverine's wedding.
Pretty much.
We talked about this in the Wolverine episode, but Storm has her own little part to play in it. Storm seems to think she's losing control of her powers, and you kind of see that in the episode. Like, she tried not to kill people, but she's, like, chucking lightning and shit anyway.
Yep.
While she's in Japan, she teams up with Wolverine's kind of, like, X, I guess? Sort of?
I get
Yukio?
No, I mean, like, I guess?
Yeah. And Storm decides to kind of embrace her wild side, running around with Yukio, because he kind of has the same effect that he had, she has the same effect on Storm that she kind of had on Wolverine. Like, the, you know, let's just go do shit and deal with the consequences later.
Like, that Wolverine miniseries,
yeah, Storm's
right?
totally into it, by the way. Yukio's, like, a recurring figure for her, because, she kind of fantasizes a little bit. I don't know if you but Storm's gonna buy.
I know.
Yeah.
No.
It's not really canon, but all of the evidence is there.
It's all there. But also, you know, Yukio, like I said, much more interesting than Mariko.
Yeah. So,
you really know how to pick a Wolverine.
Yeah. But basically, you know, she goes and helps, teams up with Yukio to do some crap, and, the X-Men don't see her again until after all the stuff is resolved. And when she shows up, well, it's in a bunch of leather with boots and a big old mohawk.
Yeah, Mohawk Storm. Do you know the story of Mohawk Storm?
I do, actually.
Yeah.
So according to what I've read, Paul Smith was messing around with some new looks for Storm because they were all kind of come up with some new looks. So he throws down, you know, like various poses, various outfits, all that sort of stuff. And while he's doing that, he starts messing around. He's all like, what about Punk Storm? So he tosses it into a bunch of leather. There's pouches in the vest and everything. Boots. A friggin' mohawk in there. And he's like, ha, ha, ha. But I'm not going to show this to Chris and Louise. Louise being the Louise Simonson, the editor at the time. Well, somehow they actually got their hands on that. And they were like, this is what we're going for. And he's like, no, it was a joke. And he's like, no, we're doing this.
You know what, though? You know what? I actually like Punk Storm. People hate that Punk Storm, the Mohawk Storm, people don't like her. And I was just like, but I love that look.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
I love it. Like, yes. The mohawk and the boots and the leather. I'm just like, yeah. She looks like she's going to go out there and, you know, cut a bitch.
Yeah. Well, she does.
No, that's what I'm saying. That look served its purpose.
So, naturally, upon seeing this,
yep.
Kitty Pryde is a total jerk and hates everything. And, says to her face, oh my God, you've ruined everything. I'm leaving now.
No, you know what, though? I had issues. That's why, you know, I last episode, I was like, I don't really mind Kitty Pryde.
Mm-hmm.
But at this instance, I was just like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? She is a child that got everything she wanted, and now everything's changing, and she can't handle it. And I was just like, listen up. You are clearly a snowflake. And I hate that term, by the way. I hate the term snowflake. But it applies to her at this point.
Well, I mean, like, when it comes to her, she's like that that one Brady Bunch kid, and just all kitty, kitty, kitty.
Yeah.
So,
And I was just like, you can't even understand that, you know, a friend of yours is just trying out new things. Maybe she just doesn't know what she wants in life right now. Yeah. And all you could do is just poop on her parade because you are an immature. Well, she's 14, so. But you are an immature brat. Maybe you should actually, like,
stop
listen.
Well, you are 14.
Yeah, you
but
are
still.
14. But still. Like, no. I was like, you know. At the same time, I'm just like, yeah, that is an actual appropriate response for a 14-year-old. My life is ruined. But at the same time, God, I hate teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, like, at that point, it was like, what, issue number 173 years to show?
Yeah.
So even by 177, right, this is Uncanny X-Men number 177, mm-hmm. Kitty's over there just bitching to Stevie Hunter, the aforementioned dance teacher, about Storm's look. And Storm's all like, yeah, maybe I should be concerned about it, too. And Kitty Pratt's annoying. I should mention that about this time,
she gets strapped to a bullet and, like, gets phased through the earth or whatever.
Yeah. So I should also mention about this time, as being around late 1983, early 1984, mm-hmm. There's a miniseries called Magic starring Colossus's little sister, Ileana, and Storm, of course.
Yep.
This is basically where they fill in the backstory of how old Storm got in the limbo dimension. And what she did with Ileana while she was there during the intervening, I guess, 6 years that she was stuck in limbo?
Yeah, she was stuck in the limbo for 6 years.
Yeah, so, you know, stuff happens there.
Yeah, it did.
It's not essential reading if you don't really want to, but I figured it had the Storm name on it, so I was going to read it anyway. Kitty still can't seem to get over Storm changing by the time we get to issue 180.
Kitty, get over it.
Yeah. Storm is getting a complex over it, and so she and Kitty just finally have it out, like 1,000 feet in the sky or something. You know, the only kind of place where X-Men would have it out, in the middle of a bunch of winds and somehow, like, still hear each other.
Yeah, that
you know?
Didn't make any sense.
Basically, I hope this stops her bitching. But we'll find out, won't
we? It did.
It mostly did.
Yeah.
But Storm now has to deal with a much more mobile Professor X, too, because I should say something. When the Brood came, they also implanted Professor X. He turned into a Brood Queen, but they managed to have some DNA left over from him, so they cloned him a new body using Shi'ar technology, and they put his brain into it, or transfer his thoughts into it somehow. So now Professor X has a better, less...
working body.
Yeah, less crippled body, I guess. If that's what you want to call it.
Sure.
But now he's walking around. He's all like, hey, guys, I want to lead the team out in the field now. I'm awesome. Let's
go.
Yeah.
That was awkward.
Yeah, Storm has to deal with this crap because, like, Professor X is all like, well, now that I'm here, hey, Colossus, go do this. Nightcrawler, go punch these people.
And
Storm's like, yeah, cool, go do that.
Yeah, no, and I was just, like, sitting there, and I was just like, listen up, Chucky.
Yeah.
You back off.
And this happens for a couple of issues, you know what
it
I mean?
It does. It got kind of annoying.
Yeah. But finally, we get to issue 184. And this is a pretty big development. Forge.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be a big player for a while in our Storm coverage, so remember this name.
Yep.
The guy is basically a master inventor. His mutant power is literally to be able to invent stuff. It's a really weird power, but it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say that, like, he is capable of inventing anything, like, on the spot. He actually still has to, like, figure out how things work together and put it together and stuff. But, like, if he gets an idea in his head of how to do something, he'll usually be able to work it out. And that's kind of his mutant power. But he's also a Cheyenne and some kind of shaman. So he's got magic powers along with his mutant stuff. And he's a cyborg.
Yes, he is.
So there's a lot going on with Forge.
There's a lot.
Yeah, but we'll keep our eye on him, right? Yeah. And what has he done recently? Well, he's developed a gun that can take people's powers away, along with a scanner that can detect mutants.
Yeah.
So naturally, the government's interested in this stuff. And to add to the mix, Rogue is in trouble. She bust out on her own to rescue an old flame of Carol Danvers because Rogue absorbed the memory of Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel. And so she found out that the guy was being had been on the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier and was being captured from there. So she goes to bust him out and gets her into huge trouble with S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yep.
And the whole time she's doing it, she's under Carol's influence. It's actually a pretty neat issue.
It is, yeah.
But when the guy she rescues finally learns about who Rogue is and why she's acting like Carol, it's a pretty harsh rejection. You know what I mean?
You know what? To be fair, in that guy's defense,
yeah,
what she did was messed up.
Yeah, no, it really was messed up.
It was messed up.
It's understandable.
And it's understandable. And his reaction is completely understandable.
Yeah. So basically, this results in Rogue being wanted by the feds and also being kind of insane, like totally at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Justifiably, because now she has two personalities inside of her.
Yeah, she's always had the two personalities. Yeah. But like at this point, they just came out of nowhere.
Yep.
So Storm has to track her down and talk it out, mm-hmm. right? So as part of the talk, Roro offers to let Rogue see as she does by touching her and absorbing her personality and powers. And this goes okay at first, but then those pesky feds show up to remove Rogue's powers, right? Because they have that special gun.
Yeah.
Forge never actually wanted them to have this gun. She handed it he handed it over to the feds at one point in order to, you know, let them know that he was working on it, but it was just a prototype, right? They weren't supposed to be actually using that in the field. And when he finds this out, he's super pissed and races off to go stop them. Well, it turns out it's kind of late.
You know what, though? Countless times, right?
Mm-hmm.
You tell the government not to do something.
Yeah.
They just end up doing it.
Yeah.
Countless times. And not only in fiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in real life.
Yeah.
So, you know, Forge giving them the gun in the first place, kind of dumb.
Well, he's a lot like Tony Stark at that beginning part, right? Where he's just pumping out weapon after weapon. And he's all like, you guys are cool with this, right? You're not going to do anything to commit any horrible atrocities, are you?
Oh, you learned, didn't you, Forge?
Mm-hmm.
What the government is capable of.
Yeah.
And it's not just the American government, right? Everybody thinks I'm just going to pick on the American government. It's actually multiple governments. Your government, my government, all governments.
Basically, if your government has the ability to do something terrible to you because they think you're a threat, they will do something terrible to you because they think you're a threat.
It's, yeah, 1,000%.
Yeah. So, basically what happens is that, they go and shoot for Rogue, but they manage to nail Storm instead.
Yeah, because they're smart.
Yeah. And Forge shows up just as this happens, right? And he manages to, recover her unconscious body, pitches out the feds, but he takes her back to his place in Dallas, what they call it, the Aerie or something like
that. Yeah, the Aerie.
Or like Eagle Plaza or something like that. I don't remember.
I don't know.
But this results in getting us to issue 186, a.k.a. Life Death.
Yep.
With art by the awesome Barry Windsor-Smith.
Yeah, that was a great issue.
By the way, if you ever find any issues of Barry Windsor-Smith on the X-Men, pick it up.
Yep.
Just pick it up.
Just pick them up.
Just do it. Storm attempts to deal with her loss of powers while getting to know Forge, the indirect cause of her power loss. They start having feelings for each other, right? But then Storm finds out, you know, that he was working for the feds the whole time, that he had handed them a weapon that could neutralize powers, and, you know, she's not happy about this at all, because it's kind of a big thing to not tell somebody. So, hey, I know you're dealing with the loss of your powers, but I invented the gun that did that to you. And really sorry, but you know, that was my bad. Yeah, that's not what Forge did. It was more like, hey, I'm on the phone right. You know, he's like, hey, I gotta go pick up the phone right now. Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, I can't talk to you. I got this lady I'm trying to hit up. Yeah, I know I invented the gun that took away her powers.
You know what was funny about that too?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that shaman guy that showed up in that issue too? And he was just like, yeah. Forge is an idiot.
Yeah.
He straight up just said Forge is an idiot.
Yeah. You remember when he was just like, what the hell does Forge, you know, why the hell would Forge make an enemy out of this person?
Yeah. I was like, I was cracking up because I was like, this old man knows what's up. He's just like, God, you're an idiot.
Yeah. So, you know, she storms out of them, storms out of the building and everything.
Oh.
And Forge is all sad and stuff. Right.
Of course he is.
But it turns out there's this thing called the Dire Wraith. If you're not familiar with them, they're villains from the ROM series. ROM being a toy line, or I shouldn't even say toy line, just a singular toy that was put out way back in the day by, oh man, what company was that? Well, I can't recall. Was it Galoop?
Was it Galoop?
I don't remember.
It's all Hasbro now.
Yeah, it's all Hasbro now. Everything is Hasbro. But
oh, you know, until all is one.
Yeah, that's the joke from, was it Toy Galaxy?
Toy Galaxy, until all is one.
Yeah. But they Marvel invented the Dire Race as their villains, and these are space sorcerers who are on Earth. They're doing crap, and basically what they can do is they can, like, steal people's souls and essences and impersonate them, like Body Snatcher style.
Yeah.
And they do it by being really gross and sticking like a proboscis into their body and just sucking away their essence and then stealing their body.
Yep.
They also cast magic and stuff.
So, I know. I was just like, look at this entire package.
Yeah, they're just nasty things. So, but they're there because they found out that Forge had created a weapon that neutralizes stuff, and it's kind of similar to what Rom does to them when he defeats them. And so they're like, we got to kill this guy, right? So they attack Forge, and Storm, being who she is, notices that the things are under attack, and goes, I guess I got to help.
Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. So at one point, though, she gets attacked by a Wraith herself. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, she's saved by that old dude, the Forge's mentor guy.
Yeah, the Forge's mentor guy.
And together they race to save Forge from the Wraith assault, right? Unfortunately for the old dude, they end up getting split up, right? And Storm makes it to the top. But this guy does not quite get so lucky, right? He thinks he's defeated one, but he ends up getting taken anyway.
Yep.
So he gets body snatched.
Yeah, unfortunately, which I was very sad about.
Yeah.
I was like, no, old man.
Yeah. So, but the X-Men arrive, and they help to defeat all the race, and Storm once again tells off Forge, and they leave for good now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So having lost her powers, Storm is going to leave the X-Men because she doesn't have any powers to guide a group of mutants, right? But then suddenly the whole of Manhattan is caught up in a spell of a returning Kulan Goth, the sorcerer man.
You know what?
Yeah.
Those issues with Kulan Goth, did not like.
It was kind of hardcore, wasn't it?
I was like, do not like.
Yeah.
It wasn't even hardcore. It was just strange.
It was strange.
Like,
it's a real departure for the X-Men, I can tell you.
I know.
That.
I was like, I like strange things, right? But that was just too strange. Does that make sense? Like, he manipulated, like, most of the new mutants and stuff like that. And this was, like, a multi-level. Like, who else was in it? Like, because Doctor Strange was there, too.
Yeah.
But, like, because I saw, like, you know, He-Man, Captain America. And I was like, cool beans. He-Man, Captain America's here.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, Kulan Goth was a character from originally debuted in Conan.
Yeah, he was.
Under the mighty pencils of one Barry Windsor Smith.
Yep.
It was from the crossover he had with Elric of Melniboné. you would have heard me talk about that if you listened to the Conan episode.
Yep.
But yeah, the next major appearance for him was in like Marvel Team Up, where Spider-Man teamed up with Red Sonja, which is actually a better issue than it sounds like. Basically, she, like Kulan Goth ends up in our time, but Mary Jane gets possessed by the spirit of Red Sonja, and so together they go and fight off, you know, Kulan Goth.
That's badass.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
You know what's really cool? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Marvel might steal my idea. What if Mary Jane was like the descendant of Red Sonja?
Well, Conan does not belong in the modern world. Neither does Red Sonja.
I want Mary Jane. You know what? That's fine. Make
Mary
that canon.
Mary Jane does not need to be a badass. Mary Jane just needs to be a well-rounded figure.
Yeah.
And I don't mean a well-rounded figure in that she's well-rounded. I mean, like, she's got three dimensions and has a personality and stuff.
Instead of like,
get your mind out of the gutter.
Instead of one of like a paper bag.
Yeah. Mary Jane, fortunately, is one of those characters who usually has had a personality.
Yeah, she has a pretty good personality.
Yeah, thank you, 70s writers.
Right?
Particularly you, Jerry Conway, for making her a viable character.
Yeah, a likable person. Or an actual person.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, that Kulan Goth storyline was weird.
I mean, a bunch of people die in it, but due to the actions of the few remaining heroes, including Storm and her warlock rival Callisto, the day is saved. And time returned to just before crap went down.
Yep.
What could possibly be the consequences, right? It couldn't possibly be a robot from the future mostly interested in hunting mutants. So anyway, there's now a robot from the future mostly interested in hunting mutants.
I was just like, pause, and I was like,
fun times, what? Right? Storm finally gets underway on her trip back to Africa, and for some reason, she's been having visions of her mom, too. Yep. I don't know what's up with that.
I remember that, and I was like, what's happening here?
Yeah. Nightcrawler is tabbed as leader in her absence, by the way. He constantly second-guesses himself with, Cyclops wouldn't do this, or Storm would do this. He's not a great leader, but that's mostly because he keeps second-guessing himself. I wouldn't say he's incapable of doing that sort of thing, but I think Kitty Pryde's a better leader than he is. Sorry, Nightcrawler.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Sometimes people aren't built to be leaders.
Yeah. So when she gets to Eastern Africa, Kenya specifically, I think, she encounters some white douches, right? And it's the Strucker twins.
I know. I was like, oh, I remember those white douches.
Yeah. She first finds them harassing a local lady and basically kicks some ass, right?
Yep.
Then the next time she encounters them, though, not so lucky because she gets her ass shot. So, but it turns out that that bullet just bounced off her skull. So she's not really dead. She's just in a bad way.
I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, but...
Like bullet ricocheted off skull.
Well, that's because of the angle, and I guess she has a thick mutant skull. I don't know.
Okay.
But here we are with Life Death 2.
Yep.
The life deafening. Barry Windsor-Smith now returns again to the X-Men to give Storm another journey of personal discovery. She suffers from some delusions and stuff, then stumbles upon a bus crash. The only person she finds alive is a pregnant girl who is desperate to now make it back to her village, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aurora, injured as she is, she agrees to help. But upon making it to the village, she helps deliver the baby of the pregnant girl. And then she learns due to the state of food production of the village, every new life means that an older life must be sacrificed. It's the cycle of life.
Which was weird and awkward, and I read that, and I was like, what?
Yeah, I don't really know.
what?
So she learned some life lessons, I guess. And the real lesson here is that Barry Windsor-Smith, I wish, would draw more comics. So, yeah.
You know what that reminded me of?
Mm-hmm.
There is like, and you know, people will probably deny this, but there is a thing in Japan where if you didn't have enough food, they would take the oldest person and they would just abandon them in the woods to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just were just like, we need all this food and we can't afford to give it to anybody else. Who is the people that are the most expendable? Oh, that's right. The old people.
Right.
Leave them in the woods.
Oh, I'm not
going to
say
die.
That this Eastern African setting is the only place where this
no,
stuff
I'm not
happen.
Saying it's the only thing like setting, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, because of that whole weird sacrifice thing, all I could think of is why the older people.
Because they're the least valuable because they can't do as much work as young people.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the circle moves on.
It's like the dumb. Sorry. I was just like, I'd rather starve with everybody here than abandon someone.
Well, you know, I don't know. I can't claim to know what they're doing there.
Live on your feet rather than die on your knees.
Okay, then. So, right around this time, Storm somehow ends up in Asgard, right?
Yeah, she does.
So, it turns out Loki has this scheme to replace Thor as God of Thunder.
As he usually does.
As he usually does.
I was like, yep, there it is.
to put this in place with our previous episode on Thor, this actually coincides with Walt Simonson's run on Thor.
Yeah, it does.
It would have been about this time that Odin had died.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor had taken Baldur off with him and a bunch of other people to go raid Hel in order to free a bunch of souls that Hela had taken, basically, and I guess not illicitly.
Yeah, she just stole them. Like, I remember reading that, and I was just like, she just upward just stole them.
Yeah.
And so, I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah, so Thor went off to go do that and take care of that stuff. You know, that's what was going on at that point. And so Loki's all like, I'm going to replace Thor.
Yeah, I was just like,
ain't no way he's coming back from hell anyway, right?
Meanwhile, I was just like, Loki's another person that doesn't learn lessons.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, who does he come upon to replace Thor? Well, naturally, the Thunder Goddess, I guess, right?
I guess, yeah.
It's funny, like, I had skipped over the things that I was going to say in here because I was making Rolodex jokes, and I did. Look,
Rolodex jokes.
I know. I said, here's my sentence, ready?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Turns out Loki had the scheme to replace Thor as God of Thunder, and guess who came up on his Rolodex? Now, if you're not aware of what a Rolodex is, it was like a phone book, but on a series of cards. If you're not sure what a phone book is, it's like what if you looked up a bunch of numbers on the internet, but gathered them alphabetically and printed them out in a book. If you're not sure what a book is, you see where I'm going here.
Wait, you know where you can find like a Rolodex? Mm-hmm. Is if you watch Mad Men and you see the secretaries and they have that weird spiral thing on their desk, that's a Rolodex.
It's like a circle phone book.
Yeah. If you watch like old school shows where people like have secretaries and stuff like that, like Wonder Woman, like Linda Carter Wonder Woman, because she was supposed to be Steve Trevor's secretary, she has a Rolodex on her desk.
Yeah. So basically I'm making jokes about how old we are.
What? Excuse me. Yeah.
Anyway, after this nifty adventure, seriously, you should really be checking out New Mutants Special Number 1 along with X-Men Annual Number 9. It's a good time. It's got art by Art Adams. Really good shit. Check him out. If you're not sure Art Adams is, he's a really great artist. So the X-Guys find themselves back on Earth now, but Cyclops is back too because I might be needed for some reason. I think Moira McTaggart called him up and was like, yo, Xavier's dying. Get over here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Thing is, Cyclops is also like now a dad and stuff. So he's got responsibilities aside from like being an ex-guy.
Mm-hmm.
Except here is where we start seeing the real glimmers of Cyclops' super jerk. Super jerk. He's decided, well, I'm going to take back leadership of the X-Men from Storm. Now, this leads to a leadership duel between the two, right? And I don't want to get into the ins and outs of it, but let's just say that the power of the Storm wins, okay?
Yeah.
And Cyclops, begrudgingly, and I put an exclamation point on this, goes back with his wife and his new child. Begrudgingly.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, not a good look,
no.
Cyclops.
No.
Not a good look.
Go away. Raise your child.
Yeah, by the way, if you're unaware of who this child becomes, it's Cable.
I was like, you know who that child becomes.
It's Cable.
Yeah.
Everybody
should know who that child becomes. Yeah.
Storm takes command of a team of mutants now while sporting no powers. And they spend some time in San Francisco, but then back in New York, they have to team up with the Hellfire Club to defeat this big old Super Sentinel. I don't know if you remember what I was talking about, but there's this super-powered robot that's from the future and it likes hunting robots. That's what I'm talking about, the Super Sentinel. His name is Nimrod, by the way.
No, I know. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
'Cause he shows up and I was just like, much like on the Brood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever like stuff shows up or when they go into space, I'm just skip.
Yeah. Every time Nimrod showed up, I'm like, hey, Nimrod.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember, like, there's this huge gap between his appearances to you.
Yep.
Like, he appears from several issues in a row for, like, 10, 12 issues or something like that. And then there's, like, this big old gap.
Yeah.
And then he shows up again. I'm like, you're back. Why are you back?
Yeah, and I was just like, skip. And this is, like, I read fast.
Right.
But then when Nimrod shows up, I actually bed read that. I was just like, don't want to read.
Yeah. So Storm makes the use of some pretty neat strategy to make the win happen, but it costs the life of a Hellfire Club Inner Circle member. That's okay. The guy was a loser.
Yeah.
Next up, unfortunately for a lot of people, the Mutant Massacre. If you paid attention during the Wolverine episode, you heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, remember when I talked about how you asked me, hey, how's the X-Men going? And I was just like, nobody knows what it's like.
Yeah. Anyway, to sum up, suffice it to say that the ranks of both the X-Men and the Warlocks are now considerably thinner. Storm feels some major guilt over this and tries to run away after freaking out a little bit. She gets tracked down by Callisto, her frenemy, I guess.
Yeah.
And given
They're
a shot
frenemies.
Of tough love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then eventually comes back. After the events in the tunnel are over, the Warlock tunnels, that is, the last Marauder reveals herself. You know who it is? It's Malice. Yeah. Malice has the power to possess people. She's evil. She is malicious.
Yeah.
She's full of malice.
Her name is Malice, Phil.
Yeah. She's possessed Dazzler.
Yeah,
right?
She has, yeah.
Yeah, the X-Guys fight it out with Malice, switching body after body. But finally, she reaches too far and attempts to possess Storm. You don't try to do that.
Oh, no, don't do
Storm
that.
Storm has an iron will.
Yeah.
You don't try to possess Storm.
No.
But that basically ends the battle when she tries to possess Storm because, you know, it doesn't work out. But you know she's still out there, though.
Yeah, you know what I learned about that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with Storm.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is a knife fight with Callisto shouldn't give you an indication, or how she just lockpicked with her teeth,
mm-hmm.
or how she still stayed leader of the X-Men with no mutant powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't mess with Storm.
Yeah. Now, if you remember the Wolverine episode, you heard me talk about him freaking out about catching Jean Grey's scent.
Yep.
Well, at one point, he knocks Storm out, and she gets kidnapped by three World War II veterans who have superpowers. I think they're supposed to be mutants, too.
Oh, yeah.
But these guys like to take the law into their own hands by essentially kidnapping people, taking them to their weird hunting lodge, and then hunting them down in the woods.
That doesn't make any sense either.
Yeah, it's like the most dangerous game, except like they're crack dealers.
Turns out it's man.
Yeah. Storm gets taken over there because they mistake her for an arsonist. And there's also a drug dealer, right?
Yeah.
And so Storm is trying to help this drug dealer get through the woods because, like, this isn't really the best way to mete out justice. But Storm makes it interesting for these guys who are used to, you know, just straight up killing people.
You know what's really funny?
Mm-hmm.
Their first mistake was kidnapping Storm.
Yeah, that's basically
that's
what it is.
Pretty much what it is. Your first mistake is kidnapping Storm.
Yeah. We got a lot more of, we got some more Storm Alone type action here. She even gets betrayed by that drug dealer she's trying to help out.
I was not surprised.
And she still comes out on top, though.
Yeah.
Wolverine does show up at the end, so that does help.
Yeah, it does.
But Storm kicks some major ass in these couple issues. Now, having gone through so much without powers, Storm finally decides, well, I should probably get those powers back. And she decides to finally get back in touch with our boy Forge.
Yeah, how long has it been at this point?
We're talking about, almost 40 issues. So like 3 years worth of stories here.
Nice.
Yeah, because we're getting up to about 220 something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
At this point.
No, but that's just a huge thing though. 3 years without her powers.
Yeah, that was
and
a long time.
She's still a badass.
Yeah. Well, so she tries to call up Forge. His number's disconnected. Upon going back to Dallas to try and visit him at his building, she finds it completely derelict and empty. And still broken down, like that. The hole that was put in the building when she was there the last time for the, yeah. the dire race is still there.
It's still there.
So all she finds when she gets there is just a bunch of illusions and holograms that have been programmed there by Forge because he's a weirdo. Forge's old mentor, Nas.
Yeah.
You know, the guy who was who was possessed by a dire wraith. Well, it turns out that while he was a dire wraith, he decided to try and make a big old spell to, like, summon aid for something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this ended up resulting in the summoning to Earth of some kind of entity called the Adversary. Basically, like, a chaos agent of some sort.
Mm-hmm. No, I remember that.
Dude wants to destroy the Earth.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do, right?
You know what? That's an honorable goal. Like, people need goals, and
yeah.
Destroying the Earth is a goal.
So I just thought it was funny, right?
Calendar. Destroy the Earth.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny, right? That, like, he gets his form, he's killed and taken over by a dire wraith, who then is subsequently killed and taken over by an extra dimensional entity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Circle of life.
Yeah. So I think it's funny though, because like whenever Storm's not looking, he has this like weird evil grin going on.
Yeah,
it's pretty entertaining. by the way, the artist of most of these issues is one Mark Silvestri. It's fun art. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Storm goes on a vision quest with this Naj. I don't really know how to pronounce his name, but I'm assuming it's like Naji.
I don't know.
But he says they got to go find Forge, and he's telling Storm, hey, Forge is doing bad stuff. He's trying to summon a bad extra-dimensional entity who's intent on destroying the Earth. You got to go stop him.
Of course.
The best way to do it is by doing what you do best and stabbing a bitch. Right?
Storm, I need you to go stab a bitch, and she's just like, I'm on it.
It's what I do best.
What I do best.
Yeah. So she goes on a vision quest with this guy, because that's what you do when you're with Native American mentor men.
Sure. I'm not going to get into that stereotype.
Neither am I. He's, you know, stuff happens, and they eventually find where Forge is hanging out. It's on top of a big old mountain, because that's where you do those sort of things.
Hey, you know what? If Red from Pokemon can hang out in a big old mountain for like a couple of years just to wait for you to show up, mm-hmm. Forge can do it too.
I should even mention, by the way, the Storm even at one point, like, she, her outfit gets all messed up because she's out there like fighting evil entities and animals and stuff. And so at some point, this Naj guy's like, hey, I got an outfit for you. And it's this horrible, stereotypical Native American-y looking outfit.
Yeah.
with a bunch of feathers and shit.
Yeah.
I
don't want to talk about that.
It's something.
Don't talk about it.
I don't know, man. It was the 80s.
Don't talk about it.
But Storm finally does find Forge, and she does what she does best. She stabs a bitch.
Yeah.
And together, they end up getting sucked into another dimension, away from the action. We'll get to that in a second. So, it's the Fall of the Mutants. That's this is an interesting crossover from back in the day. Basically, all the X-books at the time were telling stories that had something to do with something going on. They were loosely connected in the fact that, like, vaguely apocalyptic things were happening. Literally, X-Factor was fighting Apocalypse at this point.
Yeah.
I don't remember what has gone on with the New Mutants, but it was bad stuff for them, too. But the X-Men, they're fighting to stop the end of the world, too. It's great. It's good times.
There's a lot of end of the world in Marvel, so...
Yeah.
A lot of them.
Basically, the adversary slash Nas, starts causing chaos in the dimension, beginning with Dallas, because that building that Forge was in was really important for some bizarre reason.
Well, that's where he was summoned.
Yeah, so, I guess that's part of it. Yeah. So all that chaos stuff is happening. The X-Men are fighting it out. If you really want to learn more about what happens outside of the pocket dimension that Storm and Forge are in, mm-hmm. Listen to the next episode. I'll talk about that there.
Yeah, okay. You gotta listen.
But in the pocket dimension, yeah, you have to listen to get the whole story. But in the pocket dimension, Forge and Storm are basically like on an alternate Earth that's like totally devoid of human life. And, Storm manages to nurse Forge back to health, right?
Yeah.
But then she decides to go off to like see the rest of the world herself. And like seemingly, I guess months would pass here during this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
I would assume so.
You know, because Forge basically gets healthy again. And by the time Storm is done, like, exploring this world, finding it completely empty and realizing it's kind of soulless, Forge has already built a bunch of crap, including a new gun that can give her powers back. Also, he freaking raised a mountain out of nowhere. Do you remember that?
Yep.
It's like, hey, oh, that's a mountain that we should be doing, that you were casting spells on. Oh, yeah, it is, but here it's not existent anymore. Well, it looks like you fixed that.
Yeah, I was like, shh, it's okay.
Yeah.
Just mountain.
It's fine. Forge can make mountains.
Forge can build whatever he wants. And if he wants to build a mountain, he can build a mountain.
But that device, he manages to give Storm's power back because she really believed and wanted them. Right?
That's fine.
But and then he uses her elemental powers to kind of like power a dimensional gate to get them back to where they came from.
Yep.
Unfortunately, now that makes them captives of the adversary. But fortunately, the X-Men arrive with their secret weapon, Colossus, who's not even supposed to be here today.
No, he wasn't. Colossus.
Yeah, Naj's form of the Native American mentor has been destroyed because he can't handle iron, which is Colossus's kind of specialty. But the being who is doing that, is possessing him, the adversary's thing, is still there, and he just doesn't want to go away, right? So Forge can make that happen, though. But that requires willing sacrifices from 9 people. Well, let's count the X-Men here. Hang on a second. So, it's one. Yeah. Plus Matter on Pryor, who happens to be there. Cyclops' clone wife, but you don't know that yet. that's 9 people right here. Oh, whoa, what a coincidence. That. Hey. Well, everybody into the void. You're all dead now. Don't worry, they're not going to stay dead.
No, I know. That was just like,
Yeah. So, one of the entities that the adversary had captured during the time that they were there is somebody called Roma. I'll talk a little bit more about her in the next episode, but don't worry about it. She brings him back to life. Also gives the X-Men this weird ability to not be detected by electronic devices, which they keep making a thing of for the next several issues.
Yeah.
Like gets ignored eventually. I don't remember exactly when they stopped talking about it, but for a long while, like all the X-Men who died at Dallas, they just couldn't be detected by electronic devices.
That was hilarious.
But the world thinks they're dead now, and for some reason the X-Men decide this is a good thing. We're going to strike at our enemies, and they're not even going to know we're coming. Meanwhile, all our loved ones are safe.
Sure.
Right.
Because that's how it works, right?
Right. So they also decide to move to Australia for some reason. And Storm gets herself a new costume. It's that black number with the lightning bolt on there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Mohawk is gone now.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, the Mohawk is gone. But she's basically got this weird, gigantic crest of hair with no sideburns going on.
Yep.
So it's like a almost Mohawk, except she just doesn't have sideburns. I don't really know what's going on there. But I should mention that it is the 80s. All the ex-ladies at this time, except for Dazzler, had gigantic hair.
They had gigantic hair,
just
yeah.
Enormous hair.
It was great.
A lot of it was spiky. Like, Rogue was featuring a practically Wolverine-style haircut.
Yeah, she was. That weird dome.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Like she had like pointy on two sides, and I was like, "Whoa, what
yeah,
the hell?"
Yeah, I was
happening
like, "What?"
Here?
You can't see it, but I'm like gesturing with my hands.
Yeah, she. Oh, by the way, Rogue was also wearing a bikini bottom over her tights. I liked it; it was great. when I say I liked it, I mean like it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. But the X peoples can now teleport around. By the way, they found an Aboriginal dude whose name is Gateway. He just teleports people around.
That's got to be a cool power.
Yeah, you remember how they took this base from the Reavers? I talked about the Wolverine episode, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to get into them here because largely they don't have much to do with Storm.
No.
Let's see. Gateway, by the way, is like I mentioned. He's an Aboriginal dude. He doesn't speak. He just apparently knows what's going on when people talk to him. I'm not really sure what's up with that guy. He's still mysterious. Eventually, the X-Men finally meet up with the X-Factor.
Yep.
X-Factor being the original X-Men who are posing stupidly as a bunch of mutant hunters. Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that right now either. So, of course, they fight. This is comics, people. This is what happens. Storm eventually has her warm embrace with her former bestie, Jean, though. Right?
No, I didn't like that.
So, that's during Inferno, by the way.
Do not like.
Inferno is being another Mega X crossover, but it, once again, has little to do with what we're talking about here at Storm. So, we're going to ignore that one.
Yeah, like we're going to ignore Jean Grey.
Yeah. Next up, the X-Ladies go shopping. So what follows?
What did I just say?
What follows is an extreme display of 80s. An extreme display of 80s. Storm even gets another haircut, and she really just hates those sideburns. You know what I mean? Monty Burns would approve. So just look away, dear listener. Your eyes will thank you, especially with that annoying Chinese kid with the fireworks running around. Did I mention Jubilee is here? Oh, yeah. Here he is.
What's wrong with Jubilee?
No, actually, she had the best haircut out of the bunch of them. I must mention
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I also like Jubilee. There's a ranking of X people, and like Jubilee's a little higher than Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, she follows the X ladies back to the Land of Oz. But a new menace happens to menace the world. It's the Sentinel Master Mold.
The Master Mold. Yeah, What's up, Master Mold?
Nimrod is back for his brief cameo, where he picks up a little box. It turns out it was a box of Master Mold. That suddenly integrates itself with Nimrod, and suddenly there's a gigantic Nimrod / Master Mold thing going on, and, well, that sucks, right?
Yeah, it does.
So Rogue tries to take him out on her own, but is literally swatted down, right?
Yep.
But the next issue sees the rest of the X-Folks arrive to help minus Wolverine, and here we introduce to the, or at least see how the Siege Perilous works. It's a thing that was introduced to them a couple issues earlier. And it's like a gem door that like resets the life of whoever passes through it. Dazzler was playing with it earlier, and it happens to have brought it with her to the Master Mold fight, right?
Oh.
That's cool, though, because they can send their robot through it and be rid of him, right? Well, what if it doesn't want to go? And Rogue tries to shove him through the door, but he gets caught up in a bunch of robo cables, and it just, you know, Dazzler has to kind of shove the robot through the door and hope that Rogue breaks free, but she doesn't. So they both lose Rogue and Dazzler. I mean, they both, you know, they lose Rogue along with the Master Mold thing.
Yeah.
Oops.
I was like, Dazzler is still there.
Yeah. So don't worry, we're not done with the Siege Perilous yet. The next issue signals the beginning of the end of our journey here. It's a momentous one as Jim Lee pencils his first issue of Uncanny X-Men. Plus,
yeah.
It also signals a big thing for Storm, right?
Yep.
Because she totally dies.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see her corpse at the end and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. That's all.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
I'm just kidding. There's actually a little bit more. what killed Storm? Well, the X-Team was attacked by a weirdo in an egg robot suit called Nanny. It's a different one than the robot that Magneto was using. And Havoc shot down the ship that Nanny had while it was grappling with Storm. Well, so while searching through the remains, they didn't find a Storm corpse. And that everybody's a sad person, right? Because, you know, Storm is dead. But should they be sad? Because not too long after, there's weird weather happening all across the globe. And a young girl that looks a lot like a little kid Storm appears in Cairo, Illinois. What's up with that? Also, why is the Shadow King after her? Well, I guess we will find out later because, you know, we're not going to talk about that anymore.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it. I was like, wait.
Yeah. I should also mention with the Siege Perilous, the rest of the X-Men go through it minus Wolverine. And that's why he was stuck in the desert by himself with Jubilee helping him out.
Yep.
Yeah, basically we're coming to the end here. I stopped at issue 255.
Yeah, which is an important issue.
Which is an important issue we'll discuss next episode.
Yep, next
because
episode.
The person that we're going to be talking about is, should we reveal here?
We'll just reveal it next episode.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
It's a surprise.
But also at the same time, Storm is my favorite character.
Storm is great.
Storm's a great character.
I didn't mind at all that the X people, that the X books were focusing on her so hard because, I mean, like, she's awesome.
She is an awesome character.
And this is why I was always, always so pissed off at the X movies for completely frigging ignoring her.
Oh, yeah.
Her.
Let's talk about, you know, Halle Berry being Storm, which it was fine because Halle Berry's a great actress. You didn't do anything with her, and then you made her zap Toad with lightning, and yep. That's it.
Yeah, give her one of the dumbest lines in movie history.
Yep.
Well, I think we should talk about that at a later episode, because we are running really late here.
Yeah.
This is a longer than just like the Wolverine.
Just
one.
Like Wolverine, but it is equally important, because yeah. We're talking about Storm.
Next episode should be a little bit shorter. We might even have to get some bonus time on this week in order to fill up our fourth week.
Yay!
So, we should wrap this up. I hope you enjoyed our look at Storm and our major breakdown of her moments
yep.
from the 70s and 80s. Once again, check out our social medias.
Yeah, you know, I post memes.
Sue's been posting memes
been
like
posting
a fiend.
I've been posting memes like a fiend.
An ex-fiend.
An ex-fiend. You can't see it, but I'm crossing my arms again.
Yeah, I mean, check them out on the Instagrams. Check them out on the Facebooks, the Twitters.
Yep. Instagram, Pencil Us In.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Pencil Us In Podcast.
Twitter, at Pencil Us In.
At Pencil Us In. TikTok, at Pencil Us In.
Yeah. If you want to email us, it's pencilusinpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep.
And if you are listening to us on something like Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify,
Amazon,
anything
yeah,
Spotify,
like that. Amazon. You know, we on all of them.
Please leave a comment. Leave us a rating.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that.
We
Thank
appreciate
you very much.
You. Thanks for listening.
And we'll check you next episode.
Bye.
Bye.